This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, popular speaker, and the author of 20 books, including the book Feminist Fantasies, that reveals the feminist influence on the media, on college campuses, and writing in children's classrooms. Now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
The chief of the Environmental Protection Agency told Congress in 2010, quote, "The science behind climate change is settled, and human activity is responsible for global warming," close quote. He sounded like he thought he was Moses coming down from the mountain to give us the final word on the future. However, a new book by Steve Gorham called The Mad, Mad, Mad World of Climatism says that the very nature of science is that nothing is ever settled, and new evidence must always be subjected to debate and peer review. Climatism is the word for the belief that man-made greenhouse gases are destroying Earth's climate. Climatists continue to claim that warming trends exist and that we humans are responsible for it. Scientific evidence shows that warming trends occur naturally. Climate change is real and continuous. Winter storms, summer heat, drought, hurricanes, tornadoes, and tsunamis are all blamed by these scientists on man's misuse of the planet. Extreme weather events are used to push expensive policies on the public. Freedom and capitalism are not compatible with the doctrine of environmental sustainability, which calls for these elites to direct the activities of mankind to preserve the planet. Government subsidies, tax breaks, and penalties have benefited some companies greatly, so that some in the scientific community have supported climatism. When scientists dispute man-made warming, attempts are made to keep them silent. One member of the American Physical Society said, "The global warming scam is the most successful pseudo-scientific fraud I have seen in my life as a physicist." To get the real side of the story, you can read Steve Gorham's provocative new book called The Mad, Mad, Mad World of Climatism.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Is global warming an imaginary threat? Is it authentic science or politics? Is it about the future of humanity or about money and power? At eagleforum.org, a blog with Phyllis Schlafly delivers the latest news and opinions. Add your comments to the Climate Change blog at eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, Colon Enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
October 18th, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com, where you will see a list of every guest that I've ever had on my program since I joined RBN on October 23rd, 2010. You will also see links to their websites. Just visit my website and click the radio schedule button. Please also visit SpingolaSpeaks.info, a site that one of our wonderful, very talented listeners created. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour when we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. But please do wait until we do open the phone lines. I would like to open this program with a pertinent quote from Clint Richardson. And I quote, "The real test of a truther is when he or she can change their opinions based on evidence," unquote. On a recent radio show on another network, a gentleman called into the show in the last few minutes and asked the host two questions. Number one, is the Federal Reserve, the United States Federal Reserve, is that a government-controlled, managed operation, an institution run for the benefit of the American people? Number two, or is it a privately held, clandestinely run banking operation run for the benefit of a few? Now, the answer to both questions is no. The host said yes, that she thought number two was the correct answer. The gentleman then went on to say, "The powers that be, the international Jews, are actively engaged in a disinfo campaign on RBN. This guy referred to Clint as a shill and a minion. The gentleman further implied that I am a liar and that he was sorry that he had purchased my book. Apparently, he hadn't read it thoroughly, judged based on what he said. The host said that I had sold out and had committed a crime against humanity. The gentleman then quoted a couple of paragraphs from my book, Zionist Seizure of World Power, out of context to substantiate his claims. Then he said, if it looks like a duck, smells and walks like a duck, then it must be a duck, meaning I must be a traitor or some, or no, I'm working for the Jews. So just so you know that, listeners, I'm working for the Jews. And if you believe that, I have a bridge to sell you. Alrighty, I would like to refer you now to an article written by Clint. It's called Federal Reserve Pays Treasury $75 billion in profit. And I'm just going to quote a couple of sentences here. It's a truly sad reality that this headline sparks such a range of emotions in readers, from doubt to confusion, surprise to melancholy. This information is no big secret. It's not even hidden, maybe in plain sight. It's just the typical operations of the Federal Reserve System as reported in its annual audit. Yes, the Federal Reserve is audited annually, called the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, the CAFR, C-A-F-R. For those actually interested in seeking the truth instead of myths, and I'm paraphrasing here, about this federal agency, here's the link to the Board of Governors CAFR for 2011, the latest audit of the Fed. In fact, it's the 98th audit of the Fed. It explains how everything operates, its foreign investments and foreign currency swaps and schemes, its many separate limited liability corporate holdings like Maiden Lane, its dealings and bailouts with AIG, Bear Stearns, and JP Morgan, and of course its assets and liabilities balance sheet. And then he goes on to talk about the Fed. He gets you a link to the federalreserve.gov and its publications. And it's a very, very, very interesting article. And I have linked it on today's schedule page for this date. Okay. So I'm going to share with you some things from my book that explains the Federal Reserve. And this is from my book, The Ruling Elite, The Zionist Seizure of World Power. And I'm beginning The Banking Trust and Congress. Even before the dubious post-Civil War legislation, particularly from a group in Congress known as the Radical Republicans, Congress behaved as the most overt yet the most furtive of all secret societies. On January 16, 1794, Congress rightfully passed a resolution that prohibited anyone who owned stock or held an office in a financial institution from being a member of Congress. However, due to the heated opposition, Congress amended the resolution to allow such people to function in a legislative body allegedly designed to serve the people's interest. Now remember, this is way back before 1800, in 1794. The original 13th Amendment in 1810, fully ratified, would also bar lawyers from Congress. The war and other circumstances prevented the amendment from taking effect. James T. Lowenstein, moving ahead several decades, William Shields, and O.E. Owens organized the Bank Clerks Association of Missouri on May 22, 1871. That's, 6 years after the end of the Civil War, the so-called Civil War. Then, on May 24, 1875, the same Mr. Lowenstein, undoubtedly Jewish, he was associated with the Valley National Bank in St. Louis, invited bankers from around the nation to attend a meeting to establish a bankers' association. In response, in July 1875, 349 bankers from 31 states met in Saratoga, New York, to create the American Bankers Association, the ABA, essentially a trade union for bankers. On April 2, 1876, the ABA testified before Congress for the first time. Currently, the ABA is in the top 25 lobby groups and lobbies for many of America's largest financial institutions, including J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo. The ABA recently urged students who were associated with B'nai B'rith Hillel foundations located on 250 colleges throughout the United States to enter banking. They want a lot of Jews associated with B'nai B'rith to go into banking as an occupation. The ABA developed a new program regarding the employment practices of 50 of the nation's largest banks and provided brochures to each Hillel chapter. This was after the American Jewish Committee's report of September 1966. Okay, going back about a century, Representative William McKinley's tariff in 1890 increased farm equipment prices detrimental to the nation's farmers. To secure passage of it, willing Republicans promised to support the Sherman-Silver Act, which was supposed to help the drought-poor farmers and improve the overall economy. At least, that is what they claim. All right, we'll be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone. Frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com has solutions. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000s during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
The AK-47 is known for being tough and battle-ready. Now you can be battle-ready with tough tactical gear from StrikeHardGear.com. Made in the USA, StrikeHardGear.com specializes in mil-spec quality tactical gear for your AK-47, SKS Mosin-Nagant, and other Russian-style weapons. Visit StrikeHardGear.com to find chest rigs, buttstock pouches, bandoliers, shoulder bags, and other one-of-a-kind pieces of specialty gear you won't find anywhere else. Tough as nails and affordable. Buy with confidence from StrikeHardGear.com with our no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee. After that, run it hard because you're backed by a lifetime replacement warranty. Use the discount code RBN and get 5% off your order. Pull the trigger on StrikeHardGear.com today. Strike Hard Gear.
This is Deanna, and I was talking about William McKinley's tariff of 1890, which basically destroyed or really disadvantaged the drought poor farmers, and it was supposed to improve the overall economy. The McKinley tariff had established the average tariff rate for imports into the United States at the unreasonably high rate of, get this, 48.4%, which would greatly contribute to the 1893 panic. McKinley's financial backers no doubt promoted this tyrannical tariff as increase as an assault on the middle class. The ABA After being engaged in behind-the-curtain activities for almost two decades, sent out a panic circular. Excuse me, let me get a drink here. Goodness. Sorry about this. Sent out a panic circular dated March 11th, 1893, to all national banks. Hang on. It read, and I quote, "The interest..." I'm so sorry. How embarrassing. "The interest of national banks require immediate..." I need some honey or something. Good criminy. Hang on just a minute. I'm so sorry. Alrighty. And I quote, "The interest of..." "...of national banks require immediate financial legislation by Congress. Silver, silver certificates, and treasury notes must be retired, and national bank notes upon a gold basis made the only money." Excuse me. "You will at once retire one-third of your circulation and call in one-half of your loans. Be careful to..." Oh, I'm so sorry. Somebody dusted in my office yesterday. I'm afraid it's getting to me here. Okay, so "you will at once retire one-third of your circulation and call in one-half of your loans. Be careful to make a monetary stringency among your patrons, especially among influential businessmen. Advocate an extra session of Congress to repeal the purchasing clause of the Sherman Law and act with other banks of your city in securing..." Yes, I do need honey and lemon, don't I? I think I have more than a frog in my throat. Okay. It said, "Advocate an extra session of Congress to repeal the purchasing clause of the Sherman Law and act with other banks of your city in securing a large petition to Congress for its unconditional repeal per the accompanying form. Use personal influence with your congressman and particularly let your wishes be known to your senators. The future life of national banks as fixed and safe investments depends upon immediate action, as there is an increasing sentiment in favor of government legal tender notes and silver coinage." Unquote. Now, as a result of the actions of the bankers, British investors began withdrawing their funds, transferring gold from America to England, greatly contributing to the 1893 panic. The U.S. gold reserve fell below the acceptable level of $100 million as a result of revenue losses from tariff reductions and veterans bonuses. In February 1893, even before the ABA circular, investors began dumping securities, and by April, only a quarter of the currency in circulation was backed by gold. Railroad stocks were especially susceptible. President Grover Cleveland then instructed Congress to repeal the Sherman Act in an attempt to restore trust and stability in the financial sector. The Philadelphia and Reading Railroad went into receivership on February 23, 1893. The Northern Pacific Railroad, the Union Pacific, and the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe Railroads failed, which affected many businesses that relied on the railroads predictably. Predictably, the stock market plunged. Now get this. Over 15,000 companies failed. Unemployment skyrocketed. Mines closed. Grain prices fell, causing an agricultural depression, and labor strikes took place. Strikes erupted. such as the Pullman strike of July 1894. People could not pay their mortgages. Many abandoned their homes and moved west, seeking for and hoping to find a way to care for their families. Silver from newly opened mines flooded the market. Concerned people withdrew their money from banks, causing 500 bank failures. Foreign investors who could only accept gold depleted the gold reserves, affecting the value of the U.S. dollar. As of September 1, 1894, the bankers called in outstanding loans and refused to renew loans under any circumstances. They foreclosed on mortgages and seized about two-thirds of the farms west of and thousands on the east side of the Mississippi River. Farmers suddenly became tenants on their own land, and despite the size or age of the mortgage. Anxious investors redeemed their silver notes for gold dollars, and inevitably, their actions further decreased the nation's gold reserves and led to inflation. People blamed the panic on the Democrats and President Cleveland, a situation that gave the Republicans huge gains in the 1894 congressional election. On July 9, 1896, at the Democratic Convention, William Jennings Bryan gave a speech referred to as the Cross of Gold speech, in which he strongly advocated bimetallism. McKinley's supporters, principally the bankers, induced a sufficient number of manufacturers and industrialists to inform their employees that if they elected Bryan, all factories and plants would subsequently close and there would be no work. In 1896, wary citizens elected McKinley as president, and, as planned, economic recovery soon began. The bankers supported McKinley, who, in return for their operational and financial support, now favored the gold standard. Soon, the Spanish-American War would predictably boost the economy. Bankers handpicked Garrett A. Hobart, a Freemason, a New Jersey businessman, corporate lawyer, and director of numerous Morgan Enterprises, including the Liberty National Bank of New York City, to be McKinley's vice president, or more accurately, his handler. When Hobart died of natural causes, that office remained vacant for a year until Theodore Roosevelt became president. Despite what happened to other banks during these calculated financial expansions and contractions, the House of Morgan always managed to come out on top. In bank panics of 1873, 1884, 1893, and 1907, while other banks failed, Morgan's bank not only survived, but also prospered. International bankers had already coerced many nations to accept the gold standard. China would retain the silver standard until 1935. The Coinage Act of 1873 had placed the U.S. Mint under the jurisdiction of the Treasury Department. Mints were set up in Philadelphia, San Francisco, Carson City, and Denver. The Treasury established two assay offices, one in New York and the other in Boise City, Idaho. The U.S. formally adopted the gold standard in 1900 in order to accommodate the bankers who appeared to control the vast amount of the world's gold. In 1893, Max M. and his younger brother, Paul M. Warburg, had joined the family firm, M.M. Warburg & Company of Hamburg, founded in 1798. We'll be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
John Statmiller here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. veteran-owned and operated.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
What do you need? You need Paracord. CampingSurvival.com is providing you U.S. military 550 Paracord. 550 tensile strength. Military specifications. Made in the USA. Available in 3,000, 1,000, 600, 300, 150 lengths. You can purchase yours now at CampingSurvival.com. Lowest prices on Paracord. Huge selection. All ready to be shipped. Black Paracord 1,000 feet, only $39.83 right now on CampingSurvival.com. But wait, use the code FREEDOM when purchasing and save 5% off. Paracord is a unique material used for many different reasons. Get yours from CampingSurvival.com now. Confidence born of preparation, CampingSurvival.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. All righty, I was talking about M.M. Warburg. In 1893, Max M. and his younger brother Paul M. Warburg had joined the family firm M.M. Warburg & Company of Hamburg, founded in 1798. In January 1907, Paul M. Warburg, now a Kuhn Loeb partner, wrote, "Defects and Needs of Our Banking System," which the New York Times published in its financial supplement. Adolf S. Oakes, who belongs to the Pilgrim Society and is also a Jew, owned the New York Times. Warburg claimed, and I quote, "Nothing short of a modern central bank will effect a final solution to the problem," unquote. An economic panic struck New York on October 14, 1907. It magically subsided on November 6, 1907. In a timely fashion, on November 12, 1907, Warburg published a 7-page pamphlet entitled "A Plan for a Modified Central Bank," defining methods of preventing financial panics using, and I quote, "a central bank with limited powers," unquote. By 1914, in the panic's aftermath, 300,000 men and women were out of work in greater New York, and about 3 million would be out of work in the United States out of a total working population of 20 million. There would be more business failures because of hard times than ever before in the land, because a few great men needed a panic to possess the wealth that belonged to the middle class, and because big business coveted the riches of smaller businesses. The panic accomplished both objectives. Warburg claimed that a modified central bank would be different from the European central banks. Again, Oakes promoted Warburg's propaganda through the New York Times Annual Financial Review. On March 21, 1911, Warburg, recognizing that he and other bankers could manipulate the nation's currency, became a citizen. Okay, now I'm going to go to the Aldrich Plan, corporate currency. We have a corporate currency, a government of the corporations, by the corporations, and for the corporations, a corporate republic. And this has been since the end of the so-called Civil War. Ferdinand Lundberg, at least a few years after that, Ferdinand Lundberg, referring to Senator Nelson W. Aldrich, wrote, and I quote, "Seven presidents served under Aldrich, Republican Senate Whip," unquote. He had, and I quote, he had as unsavory a record as one could conceive, unquote. McClure's Magazine, February 1905, exposed the Rhode Island political machine, corrupt state senators, all dominated by Aldrich and Charles R. Brayton. Brayton, Aldrich, and Marston J. Perry manipulated the legislature, gave themselves perpetual public utility franchises, and passed laws worth millions to themselves. When Aldrich gave up his wholesale grocery business in 1881 to enter the Senate, he was worth $50,000. When he died after 30 years in politics, he was worth $12 million. He made a fortune investing in railroads, banking, sugar, mines, and rubber during King Leopold's reign of terror in the Belgian Congo, an exploitive corporate state where slave labor, mutilations, and genocide were rampant. Aldrich was certainly not the first or last politician to exploit his government position. In 1798, John Robison revealed that opportunists wanted to influence a country's military apparatus through the establishment of academies to teach and promote warfare. Military colleges and naval academies are essential to the militarization of a country. Congress authorized the first military school, West Point, on March 16, 1802, and has established others since. On September 18, 1775, the First Continental Congress sanctioned the Secret Committee. Now, this is back in 1775, people. The Second Continental Congress sanctioned the Secret Committee. That's with a capital S, capital C, whose members bought arms and gunpowder from friends or family, for which they overcharged the government and received a kickback. During the War of 1812, the Livingstons, Eldridge Gerry, Stephen Girard, Thomas Cushing, and Benjamin Harris, and many others, all merchants and members of the committee, acquired huge fortunes. They kept their transactions private and destroyed records to maintain confidentiality. Thomas Willing, the first chairman, was a business partner of Robert Morris, the so-called financier of the Revolution. DuPont, I can't pronounce that first, Irene DuPont opened the first powder factory in America, and within 4 years his mills produced 600,000 pounds of high-quality powder. Prominent in the philosophical movement, he had friends among America's most influential politicians, including Thomas Jefferson, who helped him obtain orders. Secretary of War Henry Dearborn saw no need to order gunpowder during peacetime. The War of 1812 erupted, and the DuPonts sold the country all the powder that it needed. Although he sold gunpowder to foreign countries and to the mining industry, warfare generated the most profit. Naturally, his profit soared during the brutal, fratricidal Civil War. The DuPonts cemented a permanent relationship with the corporate government. By 1896, they made smokeless powder in several colors. In 1899, the government, collaborating with DuPont, constructed a smokeless powder plant at Indian Head, and Congress then appropriated $167,000 to build a gunpowder plant in Dover. Now, Indian Head is in New Hampshire. And then they built another one. They spent $167,000 to build a gunpowder plant in Dover, New Jersey. By 1907, DuPont seized control of all existing powder companies in the nation. In 1916, government officials, uniting with yet another firm, awarded Bethlehem Shipbuilding, a subsidiary of the Bethlehem Steel Corporation, a generous contract for 85 destroyers at a cost of $134 billion. $134 million. After World War I, the DuPonts testified before a Senate committee where they claimed that their powder won the war. Their average earnings were $6 million a year between 1910 and 1914. During the war, they averaged $58 million a year, an increase of over 950%. Bethlehem Steel's yearly earnings averaged $6 million between 1910 and 1914, but increased to $49 million a year during the war. U.S. Steel's yearly profits went from $105 million to $240 million a year during the war. Anaconda Copper's yearly earnings went from $10 million a year to $34 million a year during the war. Utah Copper's yearly profits increased from $5 million to $21 million. Senators obviously recognized exactly where to invest their money for maximum profits. And that's exactly what our current group of senators and representatives do. Nobody comes home from Washington a pauper, believe me. Aldrich, the grandfather of David Rockefeller, chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, managed the National Monetary Commission. He and Representative Edward B. Freeland, that's V-R-E-E-L-A-N-D, a banker, sponsored the Emergency Currency Act, enacted on May 30, 1908, which created a group which they co-chaired. The National Monetary Commission was composed of 9 members each, from the Senate and the House, probably bankers and lawyers. Remember that initially, bankers and lawyers could not be in Congress. At the taxpayers' expense, the commission investigated the banking and currency systems of England, France, and Germany, industrialized countries similar to the United States. The commission published between 1909 and 1911 a series of 21 reports on banking, a compilation of 9,000 pages of material, 6,500 of which dealt with the three countries, Germany, with the three countries mentioned before. Germany had one of the world's key currencies. Private bankers dominated Germany with their joint stock banks. The central bank of issue, as of 1875 in Germany, was a privately owned Reich Bank. However, it was under tight government control with a very stable currency called the Gold Mark until 1914. Paul M. Warburg helped to devise the basic principles of the infamous Aldrich Plan, the genesis of the Federal Reserve System. Alrighty. Oh, we're going to a break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The 3-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky.
on-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Paul M. Warburg helped to devise the basic principles of the infamous Aldrich Plan, the genesis of the Federal Reserve System, created by the grandfather of David Rockefeller, who, according to the grandees, the story of America's Sephardic elite, is a Jew, crypto Jews. Okay, so the Aldrich Plan was the genesis of the Federal Reserve System, a plan that some bankers opposed prior to its passage. In the fall of 1910, Senator Aldrich, wanting to design a Republican alternative to the banking reforms politicians were then proposing in the Democrat-controlled Congress, allegedly met with six influential bankers at Jekyll Island to establish the corporate Federal Reserve System. This is exactly the same way that the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, functions. It is a 501c3 American organization composed of state legislators, businesses, and foundations, which provides model policies for state legislators and promotes free markets, limited government, and federalism at the state level. Alec has been instrumental in writing legislation which most often favors corporations. Alec, as well as other organizations such as the CFR and hundreds of think tanks and tax-exempt corporations, now writes much of the legislation that many state governments pass. Approximately 200 ALEC model policies become law each year. This is similar to the meeting at Jekyll Island. There have been hundreds, if not thousands, of Jekyll Island-like conspiratorial meetings. Now, getting back to Jekyll Island, it tends to remind one of the very symbolical Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, written by Robert Louis Stevenson and first published in 1886. Edward Hyde, the creature, has no conscience, no restrictions, and no boundaries, but is free to do what he pleases. Those bankers at Jekyll Island represented the interest of J. Pierpont Morgan, Rothschild, Rockefeller, Warburg, and Kuhn, Loeb & Company. J.P. Morgan and Kuhn, Loeb organized the conference where they drafted the Federal Reserve Act. Aldrich and Warburg, Henry P. Davidson, Benjamin Strong, Frank Vanderlip, all Pilgrim Society members, and Charles D. Norton attended. The result of that meeting was the blueprint for the Federal Reserve System. The officials ultimately offered Warburg the job as the Federal Reserve Chairman. He rejected their offer and instead served as a director until 1918. Charles S. Hamlin, a lawyer, was the first chairman of the Federal Reserve, serving from 1914 to 1916. Eugene Meyer, who was Jewish, was Fed chairman under FDR. Since 1970, and Arthur F. Burns, whose real name was Burnsig, all of the chairmen have been Jewish. Reportedly, Warburg developed a nationwide propaganda campaign in favor of the Aldrich Plan. Academics at Princeton, Harvard, and the University of Chicago assisted in the campaign to promote the feasibility and effectiveness of a central bank. Woodrow Wilson, Princeton's former president, became a spokesperson and advocate. Nationally chartered banks were obliged to contribute to a fund to raise $5 million to pay for the campaign to convince the American public that the bank plan was beneficial and that Congress should pass it into law. In November 1911, the New Orleans chapter of the American Bankers Association, remember the ABA, it was Jewish run from the beginning, based in Washington, D.C., officially resolved to commit itself to the banking fraternity and to Aldrich's central bank plan. When people, through their efforts, honestly and fairly produce wealth for themselves, there is no stigma. They are due the full protection of the law in retaining that wealth. Yet, when individuals combine and create wealth by improperly manipulating the law to their benefit and in the process confiscate the results of the people's efforts and place burdens upon them for the benefit of a few, they neither deserve or should receive the protection of the law. On January 8, 1912, the National Monetary Commission issued its final report and made recommendations for a proposed bill known as the Aldrich Plan. 3 days later, Senator Theodore E. Burton introduced the Aldrich Bill, Senate Bill number 4431. In that same year, Alfred O. Crozier, C-R-O-Z-I-E-R, published a book warning the public against Wall Street and the banking trust, who were then struggling to assume the management of both parties by offering to finance the campaigns of friendly candidates from both parties. It already had control of many individuals from both parties who would have blocked a legitimate investigation of the money trust. It was quite willing to spend millions in order to acquire billions in the future, as well as political control of the nation over the next century. the people might have defeated the proposed measure in 1912 if officials had honestly presented it for open debate. Wall Street and the banks engineered it as a secret issue to prevent all discussion in Congress and to force the bill through before the end of the session and presidential term beginning March 4, 1913. According to Crozier, the people should have publicly pledged every delegate, candidate, and convention. If a candidate refused to take a stand against the bank, then he should not be in the campaign. Neutrality was not an option. The issuance of the money, government money versus corporate currency, was a concern to every individual living then or in the future. Congress intended to grant control of the nation's money to a corporation controlled by the banks and Wall Street. This would create an absolute monopoly over the printing and issuing of all public currency. Crozier wrote, and I quote, "Remember, those who have the power to make money scarce or plenty have power over the business of every man, the happiness of every home, to make or break, to confer or destroy general prosperity. It gives them a hunger hold on every man, woman, and child," unquote. Congress created a corporation and implemented a criminal plan beneficial to its members. Yet the people could have destroyed the long-lasting, dangerous, and daring scheme, which amounted to a legalized holdup, if they had known that complicity existed between the media and the Congress. If Congress passed the Aldrich bill, it could not repeal it because it was a contract for at least 50 years. Congress placed Americans, then totaling 94 million, into financial and political bondage to the calculating, centralized, greedy, incorporated money trust. Instead of the people ruling the country, the Congress-created corporation would dominate the people, their currency, and their labor. Initially, people could redeem the currency for gold. They secured the money by a reserve of at least one-third the volume in actual gold dispensed through the accredited banks. The Monetary Commission, an independent group of politicians, proposed the regulations which the government did not necessarily guarantee. The Monetary Commission recommended a debt-based corporate paper currency created by a corporation, issued for profit without any legal restraints on the quantity they could print. The Aldrich plan, which shattered and even destroyed all party lines, made the population subservient to Congress and to their collaborators, the bankers. The money issue is the greatest political contest that the public should address, as it touches every human being. Crozier said, and I quote, "The victors will rule the republic for all future time, the vanquished being subservient," unquote. All right, we're going to our top of the hour break. We will be back at 6 minutes after the hour.